Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
It's going to be good. I'm excited to be kind of continuing or maybe finishing our relationship series all month long. We've been talking about mates and dates. Mates is the Australian term for friends, although I am going to talk a little bit about mating today as well. So it all kind of works. It all kind of works in into the conversation. Some of y'all just got excited. Some of you got nervous. You know, there's two responses, maybe a little bit of both. But I'm excited to talk about relationships. I'm excited to talk about marriage a bit. I'm excited because I believe that marriage, and I believe that love and romance is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to humanity. It's one of the most unbelievable gifts that God gave to us as humans is the ability to find love, find romance, be married, right, and enjoy this unbelievable relationship together. I don't know about you, but genuinely, I'm in love with love. That sounds super cheesy and super corny, but I love watching it. I love watching love mature. I love watching it develop. Have you ever been at airports where there's a reunion of maybe a dating couple or a married couple, and you can see the dude nervously there with flowers getting ready to greet his girlfriend or fiance or wife or vice versa, and you can just see those reunion moments where they're coming together again, and I almost get choked up every time I'm at an airport and I see that. It's so fun to watch. It's so fun to see that exchange, to feel loved, to be loved. It's one of the deepest needs we have as humans is to find love, to be loved, and to be able to love other people. It's an unbelievable gift that we get to have. And we don't want to take it for granted. I know for me, one of my favorite verses in the Bible that describes this concept about marriage, and marriage can and should be unbelievably beautiful, but here's one of the verses I love. It's in the X-rated book of the Bible. In case you guys didn't know, there is an unbelievably inappropriate book in the Bible. It's amazing. Song of Songs. Hello. For purity purposes, you might want to wait a little bit to read some of these verses. Song of Songs, chapter 3. I'm not going to read those verses today, though. They're actually kind of funny. A lot of them are biblical sexual innuendos, so they're actually super funny. But I love it. Song of Songs, though, describes marriage and describes love, and I love this. Verse 11, it's talking about King Solomon and his wedding. Come out, look, you daughters of Zion, look on King Solomon wearing a crown, the crown which his mother gave him on the day of his wedding, the day his heart rejoiced. I love that description of marriage. The day his heart rejoiced. I don't know, but for me, I resonate with that statement. My wife, Katie, she's not here in this service. Her and the girls are coming to the 11. But on our wedding day, that was truly my reality. The day my heart rejoiced, seeing her for the first time, beginning this next, not the first time ever, it wasn't like a prearranged marriage, but seeing her in that wedding dress and beginning marriage, and this day, it was the day my heart rejoiced. It changed everything for me, right? Now we've going on 15 years of marriage, right? I know I don't look that old, but at least hopefully I don't. But going on 15 years, and the reality is we've had great seasons and we have had not great seasons. We've had boring seasons of marriage. We've had going through the motions seasons of marriage. We've had frustrating seasons. 15 years is a long time. There's a lot of opportunity for highs and lows in a 15-year gap, right? In a 15-year period. We've had that. But the day my heart rejoiced was when the day I said, I do. And it's been a journey since then. Now, again, I'm not coming up here and talk about love and relationships and marriage as someone who's got it all figured out, but I will say that through all of that, as we have walked through it, we are in literally the best season of marriage we have ever been in, the most in love I've ever been in, the most joy I've ever been in, right? And we're 15 years in. Pastor Matt, I think, shared a stat last week that a lot of times marriages only last about 8 years. That's about kind of your, you know, that's probably the long end of some relationships. But that's not God's design. God designed marriage to be fulfilling and full of joy and full of happiness and full of love and a partnership that's unbelievable and unlike anything else. There's nothing else like marriage when it's done right and when it's fulfilled, right? How do you go the distance? How do you make a marriage that lasts a lifetime? And again, I'm just 15 years in. There are many. Who else has been married more than 15 years that's in the room? A couple. The legend. Let's give it up for these guys. Come on. So you guys nod your heads or shake your head if I'm saying something that doesn't work. You know, you guys have been married longer than me. You know what's up. But I want to provide a couple of things that I think will help. But before I do that, I want to just, anyone who's not married right now, this is not just a marriage message so you can kind of tune out. Because the reality is, creating a great, healthy marriage actually is best if it begins way before you're married. There are things we learn how to do. There's habits, there's practices, there's ways of thinking, there's decisions that if we can make them before we're married, it actually sets up for a much better marriage. Now, also, there's many in here who are married, and maybe your marriage is awesome right now, or maybe it's on its last string right now. Whatever range you are in your marriage, happiness, fulfillment, joy, whatever the situation is, here's what I know. If you begin to implement some of these things we're about to talk about, you can begin to build a fresh, new love and joy in marriage. And the day your heart rejoices doesn't have to turn into a messy court dispute where you're yelling at each other as this thing is falling apart. The day your heart rejoiced on the wedding day doesn't have to turn into just becoming roommates that barely talk to each other as they're passing the halls in the morning. We don't have to settle for a marriage that is horrible. God didn't design it that way, right? And if the best we possibly can, we can build a great marriage. So I want to get into some of that, but here's how we do it. Here's how Katie and I have found ourselves where we are today now, about 15 years in, and how many have found to having success in marriage long, even more years than we have, is that what we have to do is we have to create safeguards. Today's message this morning is called Safeguard. If you're going to have a relationship that lasts, if you're going to have a marriage that's fulfilling and lasts, you actually have to create safeguards for your marriage so that you can have a successful, long-lasting relationship. Let me give you a couple things here, or let me just chat a little bit about the definition of that term, safeguard. I love that. I don't know if we have it up here on the screen, but safeguard is this. It's a measure taken to protect someone or something or to prevent something undesirable. If you're married, it would be undesirable to feel like your relationship ends in divorce or it feels like your relationship just gets into boredom. That would be an undesirable. So a safeguard is a measure that you take to protect that in advance. Other definitions, to protect from harm or damage with an appropriate measure. The synonyms are things like protect, defense, guard, screen, buffer, preventative, precaution, provision, security. If we're going to safeguard our relationships, if we're going to safeguard our marriage, it's going to be because we implement intentional decisions in advance, right? Too often times, we're living in reactive triage mode to our relational dramas that come our way, right? not always intentionally, but the truth is, it's like we're just always reacting to the latest chaos that is breaking out in our relationships. But if we can do our best to safeguard, if we can do our best to put in some measures, make some decisions in advance right now, then we can see this, see our relationships go the distance that we want to go. Amen? All right, I'm going to get into it. I'm going to attempt to do something that I've never done before, and that is to give you 10 points. Actually, it might be 11. I don't know. If I do not get there, do not worry. Do not freak out. I will stop when my timer ends, but I'm going to attempt to give them all to you. If I don't, I will put them up on my blog later, and you can read all of them at that time. Okay? That's just a little marketing tip for some people. If you're looking to do that. Okay, anyways, before I get into it, I need to ask the question, first of all, how many want to have a great marriage, either someday or currently? How many want to have a great marriage? Okay, that's a desire. That's great. That's good to hear. Good full participation. I like that. But here's the tougher one is how many are willing to do the work to get there? How many would be willing if in the next few moments, as I share a few things, as I talk about some decisions that have to be made, how many are going to be willing to do the hard work? Because some of them you might be like, sweet, we got that one. That's easy. I'm on that one. But some of them, they may be challenging. Some of them may kind of hit you a little bit. Some of them may be something you don't want to hear. Some of it may be a challenge for you, right? So how many are willing to put in the work and to be willing to be challenged by God's word a little bit to make some better decisions. Amen. All right. Well, let's go then. Let's pray and let's get into it. Father, thank you for your presence. It's already so obviously here and with us. And I pray right now, this very important part of all of our lives, our relationships, our romance, our love, our marriages, God, allow us, God, to hear from you in a way that helps set us up to have great, long-lasting, healthy, thriving marriages in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right. So if we're going to safeguard, we got to make some decisions. So the first decision that really is the groundwork for all the other decisions is this. Number one, choose God's word as your relationship guide. This is the foundation if we're going to build on it, right? I have to choose God's word as my template for what a healthy relationship is supposed to be, right? A lot of times, unfortunately, when we're talking about we live in kind of triage reactionary mode is when we try to build relationships based on either what our emotions are always telling us. Hello, that's not always good. Or what culture is telling us is the right standard for a relationship. If we're gonna have healthy marriages, then we've got to start by making a decision right now that God's word and God's truth is my standard that I'm gonna build healthy relationships on, right? So from an emotional or cultural standpoint, a lot of times there can be a major emphasis when it comes to marriage and relationships, the term about, you know, is your marriage making you happy, right? How many know happiness is a feeling, right? We feel happy maybe based on circumstances that are going on. Well, in my almost 15 years of life, no. Almost 37 years of life, almost 15 years of marriage, there have been plenty of times where I was not happy in marriage. I'm just going to be honest for a little while here, right? Because there's no sense in us pretending that I just had a great 15 years of perfect marriage and we've all just been perfectly happy and never fought, never raised our voices, never had a bad day. And bless God, if you pray hard, you can too. You know what I mean? Like, that is just crap and it doesn't work in the real world, right? Marriage, healthy marriages take a lot of work and take intention, but it's worth it. But it's absolutely worth it. So my emotions cannot be the thing that decides my decision on staying in a marriage, right? Biblically speaking, when we commit ourselves in a covenant of marriage, that is till death do us part, right? So culture says you can get a divorce if you're not happy, but that's not what the Bible says, right? Now, let me just clarify the obvious caveats. If your husband or wife is sleeping around on you, that is biblical grounds to make an exit in that relationship. Does it mean you have to? You know, absolutely, actually it doesn't, because there are many marriages who have gone through infidelity and they have fought to stay together, and God has restored that, right? But there are some times where one of the couple in the relationship are off the rails and will not commit and are always running off on it. That's grounds, right, to make a decision. If you are being abused in your marriage, do not stay in that. Conversations about being committed in marriage and staying with it even when you're not happy does not mean even if you're being abused, right? So it's so important that we clarify that. If you are a human punching bag, it is time for you to exit right now, okay? Do not allow that to happen to you. You're more valuable than that. You're more incredible than that. You deserve better than that, right? But other than that, pretty much you stay with it. Because your emotions sometimes are going to tell you stay with it because you're feeling the love. And sometimes those emotions are going to tell you get out because you're not feeling the love and your wife didn't do what you wanted, your husband didn't do what you wanted, and now you're in a spot where you're emotionally... But if in advance I make a decision, hey, I'm sticking to it, I'm staying with what God's word says, I'm going to fight through it. I'm telling you what, after fighting through it and sticking with it for almost 15 years, there's a depth and a richness and a beauty that comes when you keep, when you mature through difficult times, right? Now, I want to just say something too. Anytime you talk about marriage, chances are there's a large amount in this room that either have gone through a divorce yourself or your parents have. And it's important that you understand, I'm not trying to get up here to smash people in the head, make people feel guilty about their life and about their current situation. What I am saying is, no matter where you're at, today can be a new day to choose different things to have a better future. Amen? Amen? Okay, so I learned when I was young, I had parents who loved watching like relational training like stuff when I was a kid. And so I can remember probably was like 7, 8, 9, 10 watching like these Gary Smalley, like relationship, love that last marriage seminar videos. And I don't know if my parents made me or if I was just interested in it, but it'd be like basically like counseling. So I've been like learning this stuff since I was like 10, right? And one of the most important things I learned is that love is a decision. Love is a choice. We feel like it's just an emotion or feeling. But my decision to marry my wife, my decision to love my wife is a choice that I make for the rest of my life, right? And sometimes I'm going to feel it, and sometimes I won't, but that does not and should not alter my decision, okay? So don't let your emotions, and don't let culture. Man, culture says, have sex before you're married, give it a shot. You can't, how are you going to buy it if you don't try it, right? Okay? That sounds sort of logical, but it is crap advice. The statistics are drastically against you if you shack up together, if you live together, or if you sleep together before you're married. The chances of you staying married longer drastically decrease. It does not help you. It absolutely doesn't help you. Here's just a little tip. If you're a guy and you're a girl and you're attracted to each other, sex will work, okay? So that's just a little heads up. You don't have to try. Like, it works. Okay? It's amazing. Okay? It will work. Okay? Oh, praise him. You know what? Maybe even in the room, we find ourselves maybe in a relational situation that might be contrary to God's word. Let me just encourage you. God doesn't love you less right now, but you do have a decision that you get to make, an opportunity. Are you going to let culture dictate what is your relational norms, or will you submit your life to God's word, even if it doesn't fully make sense? Because the question is, do you want the results of the world that we live in that's broken, has no answer for happiness, hope? Do you want that answer? Do you want the reality of a world that does not know how to create health and wholeness? Or could we go to the owner's manual, the God who created us, and go, you know what, I may not fully get all this, and I may feel some things different to what the Word of God is saying, but if I'll submit myself to God's Word, then I can set up a safeguard that'll help me in my years to come. Here's one of the things why it's important, too. I live every day of my marriage realizing that I'm not the ultimate authority, that I serve a God who ultimately dictates to me how I treat my wife. So I cannot just treat my wife however I want, thinking like, well, as long as nobody at church sees, I'm all good. No, because actually I stand before God, right? And so when I'm approaching my relationship, the fact that I've got somebody else who is authority I have to submit to changes the game of how I live as a husband, I live as a father. It changes it. If I don't have that as a place of submission, then my relationship can go off the rail. All right, I've taken way too much time on point one. Okay, so point number two, the second safeguard that we have to choose is to choose to value your spouse above yourself. Philippians 2:3-4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I'm telling you what, this will change the game if you commit. And I'm telling you what, this is so much easier said than done. This is so much easier to say than to do. I love preaching this, but then I actually have to live this, right? Where I'm going to make sure that I put my wife's preferences above my own, my wife's value my wife before myself. That doesn't mean that I don't take care of myself or don't value myself, but it means that in a relationship, the healthiest way is if we are both working on focusing on meeting the needs of each other rather than just selfishly going, what are you doing for me? Right? So I want to make sure that I'm first focused on meeting the needs of those in my life. That can start just in friendship relationships with people, you know, in the dating process and engagement all throughout marriage. If I can focus on meeting the needs of my spouse, then my needs end up becoming met way easier than I realize. That's the reality of it. And I've said that before. I've even thought that with Katie and I to go, yeah, you know what? It's my wife's needs before my own, and I'm here to serve her. And if you know, it's okay because you know it's not about me. It's about me serving her, and I'll just you know be cool with that. And that's great until your allotted time in your mind of how long you should serve them before you feel like you're being served back hits its max. Then you go, well, yeah, I was just talking about for a week, but now I'm not getting what I want, and so now I'm pissed. You know what I mean? And then I find out, you know what, I really had strings attached to that love. I pretended like I didn't. I pretended like I was just here for you and I'm here to put your needs before my own. But until it hits a critical mass point where I'm like, just kidding, I'm mad, right? But if I will commit to serving my wife's needs and seeing her fulfilled, then it comes back into my life. And I have learned that. In the short time of being married, almost 15 years. Great books, 5 Love Languages are really great. Learn those. What I love about the message of that book is a lot of times in relationships, we tend to want to love people the way we feel loved. But what the difficult shift and the mature shift is learning to love our spouse the way they need to receive love, right? So my wife, you can might as well delete all the other love languages. My wife's love language is quality time. Like, time's a trillion, right? I don't even, like, register on the scale of quality time in my own personal love languages. So it's like, awesome. This is fantastic, right? We completely opposite, right? To her, there is no, quality time does not happen until her and I are gazing each other in the eyes with zero distractions across from a table for extended periods of time of conversation. A movie is not quality time. Hanging out is not quality time unless we are looking at each other talking. Being with the kids is not quality time. Driving in a car by ourselves talking still is not quality time. ah! So you got to find out how to love them the way they want. To me, I'm like words of affirmation and physical touch, like every man. And I'm kind of creating my own combination of those love languages, though. I think like quality touch, physical time. I think those are... That's a new book I'm working on. Okay, moving on. Number three, we got to choose to communicate and connect. This kind of goes along with that a bit. Choose to communicate, stay in conversation. But also, it's not just talking for the talking's sake, like be open, talk about what matters. Go there in conversations. If something's frustrating you, talk about it. Deal with those things. Nobody is helped by brushing things under the rug. Nobody's helped by that. A lot of times in husband and wife scenarios, the husband's usually like the quiet, reserved, non-talker. The wife is more of the spiller guts, talk about life. Katie and I might be opposite. And I literally grew up with my mom. She would like say, Samuel, one of my brothers say, David, we're fighting. Samuel, tell David how that made you feel when he hit you. And then you have to tell, now let's talk, apologize to each other, right? So we were like learning like relational counseling from a young age. So when Katie and I first got married and we were like in a fight, I'd be like, okay, babe, let's talk. You know what I mean? Let's talk about it. She'd be like, no, I don't want to talk about it. I'm mad right now. You know what I mean? Like, and also I'd like to ignore this and pretend like it didn't happen. That was her family upbringing, was ignore stuff until you blow up, right? And so that was one of the biggest things that Katie and I had to learn. But one of the things that I feel like safeguarded us, that I chose to do, is I committed that I was always going to go there in tough conversations, even if it made my wife mad. Right? And metaphorically, I said, I would rather sleep on the couch because I created some unrest because of going there in a difficult conversation than to try to sweep it under the rug to make sure that I got sex that night. Okay? And that's a big decision for a guy. But for real, honestly, thankfully I've never been banished to the couch. I don't really believe in that concept. But I just said, I'm going to go there. I'm going to have tough conversations. We're going to deal with the things that need to be dealt with. We're not going to pretend like everything's okay. We're not going to sweep that situation under the rug. If you do that, you will safeguard your marriage from little declines, little deteriorations, little by little. You got to keep talking. You got to keep working things out. You got to keep those conversations going. Amen? All right. Now, even Proverbs 27:6 says, the wounds from a friend can be trusted, but the enemy multiplies kisses. Hey, sometimes it hurts when your wife or your husband challenge you, but take it, right? Be open to it. Learn to receive input from each other. Okay, number four, choose to keep it fun, okay? I'm wearing this as a reminder of that. This is from Santa Monica Pier Rides bracelet thing. This is not like a hospital thing. Some of y'all are like, wow, keeping it real fun at the hospital. I am boring. I'm just going to come out and say it. I am boring. I like to work. I like to write. I like to read. I like to drink coffee. Right? Does anyone else need any more of a list for you to start falling asleep? Like, I love that stuff. I'm crazy. My wife's like, let's do something. Let's have fun. You know, I'm like, I just did. I was strategizing world domination all day. Like, that's fun to me, right? So if it wasn't for my wife, I would be boring. I would do nothing fun other than like read and write and do things like that. So we had a full day on Friday. Kids are off of school partying. Now John's a party animal. He called me up. He's like, you want to go to the circus on Saturday? I was like, I already had my one day of fun this week, so I can't. Actually, I had to prepare for this. Otherwise, I would love to. I mean, everyone's going to circuses now after The Greatest Showman. You know what I'm saying? It's like, circus, I'm in. Let's go now. How good was that movie, though? Okay, anyways. Another one is choose to think on the good. If you want to safeguard your marriage, safeguard your relationships, think on the good. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything, like anything, even a small thing, is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Okay. Marriages deteriorate so fast because we start going from the day my heart rejoiced to, oh my God, you so irritate me. Right? And it's the little irritations that build up, and all of a sudden I start thinking. I went from thinking all these amazing thoughts about all the good I loved in my wife to now I'm starting to fill my head with thinking about the things that frustrate me, irritate me, annoy me, plague, you know, like all that kind of stuff, right? And the more I think on those things, the more it will sabotage my relationship. Now, we know scientifically now that our emotions are a byproduct of our thoughts, right? Sometimes we think, well, I feel a certain way, and that's what prompts me to start thinking. But actually, it's the opposite. What I think about then changes how I feel, right? So if you fall out of love, you really just stopped thinking good and stopped thinking about that individual, right? So the good news is you can fall back in, but it's really not a fall. It's hard, intentional work to refocus on your wife or on your husband and to refocus on the good things, right? If I focus on the good in my wife and I'm praying for her and I'm thinking the best about her, then my love for her grows. If I'm thinking about the things that agitate me, I get angry at her. That's the reality. That is how it works. That doesn't mean you're good or bad. It's called how we are wired. When I think good about my wife, romance bubbles up, is inspired. If I think about the things that irritate me, it shuts down, right? So if I want to go the distance relationally, I have got to think about the good things. Here's something important. You know, a lot of times marriages deal with affairs, but affairs start in the mind, not in the bedroom. So you have got to be so intentional, so ferociously guarding your thoughts that you keep your thoughts for your wife or your husband and them alone, and make sure those thoughts are good thoughts, right? Okay. Number 6, choose boundaries that support purity. A lot of times you think of like boundaries more in the pre-marriage dating, but also you need boundaries in your own marriage so you stay pure, right? But just a couple of thoughts. Like, I'm kind of extreme when it comes to boundaries and dating before marriage and actually during marriage because it's so easy to throw it all away. You know, it's so easy to kind of jump over the lines. And to me, boundaries, if you're asking how far can I go before it's sin, that's the wrong question, right? So if sin is over the stage, then it's not about going, well, you know, if I can just kind of tightrope this bad boy. Heller. Woo! You know, late nights, dark movies, Netflix, almost chilling. You know what I'm saying? Walking that tightrope. Crap, guarantee I'm going over the edge. Okay? If I can set boundaries that actually keep me like here, then if I let my boundaries slide a little bit, I'm still way over here. And I can rein myself back in, rather than being right on the edge. I have an extreme opinion about, like in the dating phase, especially older young adults who like own their own apartments or homes. I just encourage you, don't go over to each other's house by yourself. Just straight up. Does that sound extreme? You're like, I'm an adult, I own my own home. I know, but nobody's watching. So the question is just, how serious are you about arriving at the wedding day with as much purity as you possibly can? You know what I mean? So that's the question. I know I'm not getting a lot of applause on that. That's fine. But I just want to help you. I just want to help you. By God's grace, my wife and I, in case you haven't heard that this is possible, my wife and I were virgins when we got married. Okay? People are like, that's not real. He is lying right now. There is no way that that happens today. It can happen, but only if you safeguard. Now, here's the deal. Some in the room have already crossed those boundaries. Grace is available. Thank God for that, right? But it's a new day, new opportunity to set new boundaries for purity in your relationships and in your life. And God is not some big ogre who's trying to, like, steal all your fun. He realizes that he wants to help set you up to have a great marriage that lasts. The only way to do that, submit to God's will, God's way. Amen? All right. I'm definitely not going to make it. All right. Let's have the band come up. And I'll just chuck out a couple of them. And again, I'll have to put up on my blog later. Okay. Number 7, choose to fulfill each other sexually. That's a good safeguard. If you're married, this is a married point. Just want to make sure that's clear. A couple boyfriends were super pumped. No. Come on. You know, there's a passage about a lot of people don't even know this stuff is in there. 1 Corinthians 7:2 says, but since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife. It's good. And each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over her own body, but yields to his wife. Do not deprive each other, except for perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. That's a funny line. My wife and I have never thought like, hey, let's not have sex so we can pray. And at least I've never thought that. Maybe my wife has, I'm not sure. Then, listen to this, then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Right? If in marriage there is an absence of sex, that creates a vacuum that is dangerous. Now, it's important to note that as when the Word of God is your standard again, where I'm submitting to God's Word over my feelings and emotions, if there's an absence of sex in my marriage, that doesn't mean that I get to go rogue on my marriage to go get fulfilled what I need fulfilled as a man, right? I don't have license to do that just because, and there's been seasons where, man, Katie and I had seasons where sex was just not going well, not great, not often, at all. I mean, I know all you guys married people in here have sex every night, so you guys are like better than me. But it's in those moments where I have to have the Word of God to guide me. And here's a great tip for men. If you're finding yourself and sex is just not, this is not a great part of your marriage right now, instead of going, hey, where am I going to go elsewhere to find this fix that I need? Use it as a motivator to go, I got to figure out why. I got to figure out what's up in my home. What is the atmosphere that I'm not creating? Why is my wife not opening up to me? What is the problem? Rather than saying, well, forget you, I'm going to go take care of this on my own, I've got to use that to motivate me to go, what do I got to do? How do I got to shift things so that that can return to my home again? And it's very, very, very important. Okay. Number 8, choose to forgive. Forgive, 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 forgive. You want to go the distance? You want to be safeguarded? You got to forgive. Forgive quick. 1 Corinthians 13, keep no record of wrongs. Do not do it. Do not keep bringing up those things from the past. Number 9, this is for the men specifically, choose to provide financially well for your family. One of the biggest issues in divorce is finances. And not that women don't contribute, and some women are unbelievably gifted in the marketplace and lady boss empire builders, and that's awesome. That's cool. That's your thing. You love doing that. But men, it's your primary responsibility to take care of the finances of your home. And one of the reasons you may be having a difficult home situation is maybe you're not pulling your weight like you need to. I've had seasons where I've been great at that and seasons where I've not been great at that. I'm telling you what, it makes a difference. When I step up my game, when I take finances to the next level. And one of the books that I highly recommend, if you're having struggles financially, read the book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker, and sign up for Life on Fire coaching, okay? And put my name down. Okay, so. Okay, number 10, Choose accountability. I've got to wrap this up. Two are better than one, the Bible says, because they have a good return for the labor. If either of them falls down, one can help them up. But pity the fool. It's just Mr. T. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Okay? In marriage, you know what? If you're going to go the distance, one of the greatest safeguards is to get in a great community, be a part of the church, get on teams, get involved in a place where accountability can happen. I've got to be close enough to other people in my life where they can look at me and say, Samuel, man, you are a jerk to your wife. Man, Samuel, the way you're acting right now is so selfish. Man, Sam, you got to step up your game. Come on, man. How are you taking care of your wife or not? You know, like, I need people to be able to be close enough to see my issues to be able to challenge me on stuff. If I don't have that, then it'll be just me and my wife slowly fading off into the distance of divorce because we never allowed anyone to speak into our life. And that's why men get to emerge, okay? You need to be there and join my team as well. So I do have a few spots open. Gosh, this is a lot of promotional plugs here. I got to stop this. Last one, choose words that bring life. Our words create a wall. They can be either be a barrier between us and our spouse, or they can be a guardian wall of safeguarding protection. Choose words that bring life. Amen. Amen. Safeguarding your relationships, safeguarding your marriage. If we want to go the distance, we've got to put in the safeguards. We've got to make the decisions right now. I want to do something real quick and put our married couples on the spot, or dating or engaged couples. But I want you to do this. If your spouse is with you and you're married, go ahead, or engaged or whatnot, go ahead and stand up. Face each other. Hold hands. And just for a moment, I want you to use words of life over them. Just encourage them real quick. Tell them something you love. Tell them something that you haven't said in a while, maybe. Encourage them. Love them. Look into their eyes. Don't stare away. I know this can be a nervous activity, staring into each other's eyes, but express that love. Let them know. Let the words that are coming out of your mouth right now build a wall of protection around your life, a wall of strength around your marriage, rather than it being a dividing wall. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now here's what we're going to do. Yeah, you guys can make out real quick, and then everybody stand up. Some of y'all went right from words of affirmation to physical touch. Slow down. We're in church. Come on, somebody. Quality touch. There we go. I love it. I can't wait for that book. It's going to be such a big seller for men. So they're going to love that book. I want to pray, and then we're going to head out. And then I'm going to ask forgiveness for being so far over time. Let's just close our eyes and have a moment right now. Each of us are in different phases of our marriages, our dating relationships. Maybe you're single right now. That's fine, too, wherever you're at. If you say, you know, one of these things I touched on, maybe it's an issue that you're dealing with. Maybe it's a struggle. Maybe there's challenges in whether it be boundaries, challenges in the words you're using, the thoughts you're thinking, decisions that have been made. And you realize, man, I need God's help to make some new decisions, to put in some safeguards. If that's you, lift up your hand. Let me just see who I'm praying with. And I want to pray with everyone in the room. You say, that's me, that's me, that's me. Awesome, awesome. Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every single hand raised. I thank you for every relationship, every new relationship that's beginning, every fresh marriage, every marriage that's been going for 15, 20 years. Father, I thank you that this is going to be a great year in our marriages. This is going to be a year where love just comes alive again, where grace for each other comes alive in a fresh way, where the thoughts we think about each other are going to be all good. And I thank you, God, that you are just maturing and you're deepening the love and the affection and the romance that's in our relationships, Father. And we thank you, God, we choose again to submit our lives and our relationships to your word, God. God, we want to do it your way. We want to do it how you designed us to live, we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God, I pray for grace over every mistake. I pray, God, for mercy over every relationship that feels fractured or feels like it's barely hanging on. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that there would be life again, that there would be hope again in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I want to ask one more thing before we dismiss her or hand it back. Just everybody's head bowed, eyes closed. I want to ask the most important question we ask every week, and that's about your relationship with Jesus. Do you know him? We're talking about relationships. The first relationship we all got to get right is our relationship with Jesus. Here's the message. You have a Father who loves you. Even though our sin separated us from him, he sent his Son Jesus to die on a cross to eliminate that gap. And he invites you to come close to him again. All you got to do is accept. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you confess with your mouth, then you receive salvation and grace. So everybody's head bowed, eyes closed, and looking at your own life. If you're in the room here this morning, you say, Samuel, I don't want to leave today without getting my relationship with God right. This is my moment. This is my time. I don't want to leave here where I'm at. I need to make a decision today to follow Jesus, to receive that forgiveness for my sins. Around the room, just go ahead and boldly lift up your hand. Let me see what I'm praying.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.